Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, your journey into personal growth. The splendor of any decision is after you've made it, all that remains to be seen are its consequences. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. Here at Threads of Enlightenment, we talk about the principles of self-development and personal growth. By having conversation with people who have walked through their journey of personal growth. We believe that everyone at some point in their life will have to deal with one or more of these principles to have the privilege of focusing on their self-development as humans. These principles, when applied, can help you to become the best self possible. Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, your journey into personal growth. The splendor of any decision is after you've made it, all that remains to be seen are its consequences. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. Here at Threads of Enlightenment, we talk about the principles of self-development and personal growth. By having conversation with people who have walked through their journey of personal growth. We believe that everyone at some point in their life will have to deal with one or more of these principles to have the privilege of focusing on their self-development as humans. These principles, when applied, can help you to become the best self possible. Welcome to another episode of Threads of Enlightenment. We have Marnie coming out to talk to us. I'm going to have her introduce herself to us all, to our family. And then I am going to go back and ask her all those wonderful questions that we love to ask so that we can get all the details and the tools that she used to get to where she is today. So welcome to Threads of Enlightenment. Go ahead, Marnie, introduce yourself.
Thank you, Ken. It's so great to be here. And thanks for joining us, you guys. It's always fun to talk to a different group of people that I haven't been with yet. And this is so exciting. When I was a little girl, all I wanted to do was grow up. I just was focused from the tiniest time to growing up. I did not like being little. I had a hard time in school. Really didn't learn how to read well until I was an adult. And so I really struggled all the way through school, but I just tried my best and people kept telling me, I don't understand why you get bad grades. You're very smart. And so people kept sowing into my mind that I was smart. I just kind of wasn't showing it in school. When I got out of school, I was able to get out from under the pressure to perform. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, when I became an adult and independent and I had some time to heal a little, then I began to read and my mind was able to process it. And I started reading, Ken, and I couldn't stop. I just was reading everything and everything. And I fell in love with authors and with people who would bother to share what was in their head with the rest of us. Yes. And maybe I could borrow it at the library for free or spend $10 or $20 and pick their brain for two whole hours on everything they knew about a certain topic.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. And so I think, honestly, as a mentor now, I really believe that's where it all started for me, is because when I finally could access the knowledge that was available for me, the authors had written it down and made it available. People were willing to share. And that's, I think, where the inspiration for me sharing came from.
Excellent. Excellent. I tell people that when you read a book, you're having that private time with that author. And you're sharing her or his. They're having a conversation with your personal conversation. And I tell them, if you look at it that way, then you will get a better chance to digest what is being spoken through those pages because they took their time to put that together for you. And their hope is that you would continue to be blessed out of it. And so I want you to go and tell us all those wonderful things that you do. I see that you are a mentor. As I said, I love that your tagline, you're a mentor to the millions. And so I am excited about that alone. So I want you to tell the people what you do today. I know I see that you're an author of several books, a keynote speaker and all these things. Give us the beautiful picture of where you are today. And then we're going to go back and get some more of that good stuff that you started to talk about earlier when you came in.
Right. Well, I am just like everybody else, completely, absolutely unique on the planet Earth. And so yes. I like to say when God strung together your 3 billion base pair of DNA, mm-hmm. he did it in a particular way. There mm-hmm. is nobody else on planet Earth like you. And absolutely. I am crazy insane. Like I am either flying fast and far or else I am flat out on the tarmac getting ready for my next flight. I mean, that's really my only two. I really don't idle well at all, Ken. Do not ask me to sit and wait. Have a hard time with
that.
Testify.
I can testify to that.
So I'm crazy and I just go, go, go. I get up early and I start my day. In fact, before I open my eyes, I'm talking to God. And usually I start with the words, "Good morning, Daddy." And I just know yes. that I have this amazing privilege through Christ to go right into the throne room of God, sit on Papa mm-hmm. Daddy's lap, and converse with mm-hmm. him in the morning and all day. Can I tell you what my favorite job description is?
What is it?
It is that I am the personal assistant to the King of the Universe. Every morning I meet with him in private consultation and he gives me mm-hmm. my instructions for the day. And then I just mm-hmm. go through the day and he provides all the resources I need to do whatever it is he assigned me to do that day. And the pay is fantastic, but the retirement plan is literally out of this world.
I love that. I love that. That's a beautiful, yeah. beautiful explanation of your assignment and your work. I love the fact that you told us that how special we are and how special you are. Mm. And I keep telling people, you and I are all one of a kind. We are so mm-hmm. special. There are industries that are here on this planet Earth that are making billions of dollars because you and I are so special with face recognition and voice recognition and fingerprint things. I mean, we can go on and on with the industries that are existing because we are such individuals. And I keep telling people, you must learn to love this individual because you are an endangered species. There is nothing like you after you have gone here.
Yes.
So you ought to look at yourself in the mirror every day and kiss yourself and say, I love this person because he or she is an endangered yeah. species. And I think
that.
Once you get there, and I try to tell people about this journey that we talk about, this walk. I had enlightenment because I wanted to take that terminology and strip it away to what it truly is. And I keep telling them it is an opportunity for you to begin to ask questions about who you are and in your relationship with your God and man. Because the Bible mm-hmm. makes a statement, it says, this is the greatest of all commandments, Jesus said, that you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and then you love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so my question that I always ask people, how can you love me and you don't love yourself? And so I think that is the problem in the world today. As a mentor, Marnie, you have mentor to the millions. I love that. I'm going to keep going with that all the time. And so you are busy. So what happened as a child was reading, what happened to get you to a place where you were having difficulty translating or having a time to sit down and have a conversation with a writer, or to read or to take a test. So what catalyst happened in your life that you can remember that brought you to that place?
I don't know if I can think of anything other than getting out from under the pressure of performing. And so let's just pause on that for a minute. So when you have, so I always think of our brains kind of like our bodies, okay, in a way. Mm-hmm. So if I break my arm, Ken, I need to go to a doctor and I need to have my bones set. Then they'll probably put it in a cast. They'll probably give me some pain med for a little while until it settles down. 6 weeks later, I'll go back. They'll saw the cast off. Then I'll have to probably do some therapy, get all of my rotation back and all of that. And then I go forward as if it didn't happen, hopefully. Now, with our brains, when our brains get broken, we often don't get that kind of treatment. Often when our brain is broken, it's just people really don't recognize that anything's unusual. You just went through something. I mean, we have words for it now, PTSD and different things like that. But but when your brain is broken, you also need help. You need help. You need someone to help you set the brain back in place, to help have it grow back to its normal state, to maybe do some therapy mentally to forgive, move on like that. So I think what happened to me is that during my kindergarten year, that was a terrible year for me. I was in a class of 30 students. There were 28 boys and two girls, and the teacher was elderly and pretty much out to lunch. And so what happened was that year was sheer torment. I mean, the boys literally tortured us. It was just really rough. And I think I had a bad start to school. And I think until I got out from under that, I really don't think I could process learning, reading, comprehending like a normal child. And in addition to that, I had dyslexia and other challenges that were there too. So as an adult, then out from under the crushing weight of needing to perform, to get good grades, to not be humiliated constantly like that, then I believe my brain was able to actually finally heal and move forward. I went on, Ken, we homeschooled our kids, our three now adult children from K through 12. Talk about intimidating for somebody who could barely read when she graduated to think about homeschooling her children. But that speaks to the nature of healing available to anyone who has been broken. There is so much healing available, and maybe it's going to take, like for me, it took many, many years, to come to a point of healing. And I had to have a changed circumstance to come to a point of healing. But God does it in many different ways. And so that's what I would say was for me, it was just a changed circumstance. I was out from under the pressure.
And that's awesome. I know everyone, I always tell everyone has their path and their journey. Once you begin to walk it there, God usually gives you some breadcrumbs. The breadcrumbs come along, and then we realize once we get a chance to slow down that, I need to pay attention to certain things in my life and start to make changes to my life, because God didn't put us here just to live the way we do. I tell people, I was talking to someone a few days ago that were saying most people are in a 9-to-5. Then they get home. They're not happy in their 9-to-5. They're sad. And then they get home on the weekends. They drink and numb themselves to go back to a place at 9-to-5 where they're numb all day. So they're in this constant state of just numbness and depression that they never get a chance to give anything room to come into their life unless something tragic happened. And so I'm so glad that you are able to move from the school situation into a place where you start to digest and eat all of these wonderful things, knowledge in books. So how did you now progress? What is your progression as you begin to consume these books, your progression into coming to where you are today? How did that process begin? What started that process?
Right. So I had never really thought of like, I'm going to write books or I'm going to become a mentor or I'm going to do any of this that I'm doing. It was all just, you know, and I think that the breadcrumbs you were mentioning, it's so important to recognize that if I start from, let's say, California and I'm going to drive to Washington, D.C., and that's going to be my trip. And all along the way, there's road signs that will help me to get there.
Yes.
And I can't actually get there faster than I can get there. I can really only get there as fast as I can.
Yes.
And so kind of, I think in our lives, sometimes the breadcrumbs are there just to encourage us to keep going.
Keep going. Yes.
And sometimes, and sometimes they're there because we've gotten off track and we need to get back on track. I mean, there's a lot of ways, but timing is so important.
Yes.
And I just want to encourage you listeners that wherever God has you today, he knows where he's taking you. And so it's okay if it's taking longer than you want, or it's harder than you thought, or whatever. I think just to say, okay, here I am. I loved what you said earlier to look in the mirror. I actually sometimes look in the mirror, look in my eyes.
Yes,
same and here. And I speak to the Spirit of God who is in me.
Yes.
And I say, thank you
for
making me just this way. Are the things about me I would change? Absolutely.
Yes.
But also I'm grateful for how God made me. So when I think about the journey then, I was just basically living. I was living. I got married. I became a mother. I was involved in all kinds of stuff, you know, president of the Friends of the Library and president of the women's group of church and and leading Awanas and, you know, just doing life, you know, teaching Sunday school, homeschooling my kids, go on and on. And then people started asking me the question, how do you do that? How do you do that? And so that's where my books have come from, Ken. It's all of a sudden I will hear that question about a specific thing over and over and over. So the first time it was actually about how did I entertain over 100 guests a month in my home, feed them awesome food, stay on a budget and be as busy as I was. And people were like, how are you doing this? But how do you do it? And I try to tell them one little thing. They're like, yeah, but that doesn't really explain it. So I went to the library, my favorite place, and I interlibrary loaned 200 in the end, 200 books about kitchen management. And I thought one of these books is going to explain what I'm doing, but none of them did. And along the way, I read some really terrible books and I thought, you know, I think I could do this good. I even think I could do better than this. And so it gave me courage. And I began the long process, the 4-year process of writing my first book and getting it published by a traditional publishing house. When you read a book from somebody, they have put so much of themselves, so much of their time into organizing their thoughts in a way that you can digest it easily in 2 hours or less. It's pretty incredible, really. So what my readers would digest in 2 hours or less took me 4 years to put together for them. And then they got to pay $12 or however much, $17 and get the book or even borrow it free from the library. So that was kind of the beginning of me mentoring as an adult. But I think the beginning of my mentorship, Ken, goes back to me being 11 or 12 years old, volunteering to help with the 4-year-old children church. And I see that that's actually where my mentoring began, was way back there.
That is awesome. I know that's a such a beautiful story. When you as people begin to move and progress in their life, it's usually someone will say things, and I always say, people, pay attention to what's before you, living in the now. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, you know, focus on now. And so, and those people will come to you like people came to you. So how do you do this as you live, you know, and what you would consider, oh, this is normal stuff, you know, to you. And so but someone looking into your situation going, how in the world do you do this? Because it is not normal to them. in their way of processing things. And so now someone like yourself, they will come to you and say, how do you do that? And I tell people, when people come to you like that, that is your opportunity to answer that question and then look at that question and see what can you do to truly answer that to a masses, the mass. Because if one person asks you that question, I guarantee you there's another one behind there want to know the same thing. So I said, usually God will put someone that'll ask you a question like that. And that question is to cause you to go and to produce the product or system or whatever it is that is necessary to help beyond this one person here and to reach to the others, because that may be one of the things, the tools that God is using you to start you and keep you in this journey. I see that you've written many more. How do you do that?
How do you do that? How do you do that? I actually wrote a book about that.
That so book, talk to us
that book about,
talk to us about
actually,
some
that
of
book,
those
no,
books.
There is a, right, that book is called Ebooks, Idea to Amazon in 14 Days. And that's a funny story how that book came about. People would always ask me, how do you write all these books? And I was one time asked to pinch hit speak. So that means that the original guest couldn't come at the last minute. Well, this was a 7-city tour that he was going to do on how to write ebooks. And this person had read some of my books and she reached out and she said, Marnie, I know you could teach this sleeping blindfolded with your hands behind your back. So come teach this if you can. And I was able to clear the schedule and go do all those 7 cities and the trainings. But nice. I only had 14 days from the day I got the call until I had to go do these. And as I started looking at ebooks and how to write an ebook, I realized that things had changed. Since I wrote my last ebook, Amazon had released the Kindle and I had been kind of, it was so fast and I had just not made that turn. I realized that 14 days from now, I'm going to have to stand in front of people in 7 cities and explain how they can do what I have never yet done. And so I actually hired a team of researchers to help me. I worked around the clock many days, and we put together the book that is now an Amazon bestseller, ebooks, Idea to Amazon in 14 days. And I actually wrote the book about how to do what I had to teach how to do in 14 days, published it as an ebook, and then went on to publish it as a paperback. But I think for me, if I was going to tell you my insider secret is that if I can find a book or a resource that already teaches it, I will just forward people to that. So if you had asked me, what's your book on time management? I have a boot camp I do on time management with a workbook thing, but I haven't written a book about time management because I would tell you, read Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek. Now, which takes more energy for me to say, read Tim's book or for me to write the book that Tim already did a good job writing? Okay, right?
Yeah.
Save me 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, if somebody else already did it and it resonates with who you are, how you thought about it, how you think about it, then you don't need to rewrite it. It's already there. That's fine. But what you're looking for is what I call a hole in the market. You're actually looking for the space in the world that God has actually created you to fill. And we can get all distracted by these bright, shiny objects. Like people ask me all the time about time management. And so am I supposed to actually write a book about that? Or was I supposed to do the webinar, which is what I did, this online training program that people can take? Or, you know, what am I supposed to really do? And I think for me, for that one, I just recommend 4-Hour Workweek and that you can take the webinar with me if you want to get inside of my actual nitty gritty, how I actually do the different things. So as you have ideas coming by, can I just talk about ideas for a moment, Ken?
Yeah, please, please.
So ideas are like radio waves. Mm-hmm. So if you think about you've got your radio and you're deciding which channel to tune into, right? So you kind of go by, you listen to a little teeny sample of each one until something clicks with you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, this sounds kind of good. And so you hunker there for a little bit. And then you're like, ah, that's not really quite it. And you scroll around a little longer until you find just the station that fits the mood. And, you know, you just listen to it and it uplifts your spirit or whatever, makes you dance or whatever you wanted to accomplish there, gets you good news, whatever it was you wanted to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Ideas are like radio waves. All around us, there are so many great ideas that as soon as we tune into it, what tends to happen is we get distracted by every single one we listen to. We're like, oh, now that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And then you get stuck there for a little while and then you go on to the next. Oh, well, that's, and pretty soon you're overwhelmed because you don't know what to do. They're all great stations. They're all great ideas, but they're not all for you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it comes back to the whole point of your show, Ken, is to help us to recognize that God created us uniquely to fit a specific open space in the world where we have the opportunity to bless others like nobody else could ever bless them if all we will do is say, yes, I'll do what God is asking me to do. Instead of chasing all these bright, shiny objects.
I know I have, this is going to be perfect for someone that I spoke to last night because she's in that same space. And I would tell her certain things, basically some of the things that you're talking about. But it's good to hear it from multiple people because I think the fact that sometimes, you know, a parent will be telling their kid this thing over and over again. And then some other stranger will come and say the same thing. And then kid go, wow,
exactly.
I know. That's awesome. I never thought about that. And you look at that.
Never heard that before. You know?
And so, you know, we always have that kind of thing. So I think it's good to get it from multiple voices. In my case, with my book, was actually Blueprint of Faith came in prayer one day. I was praying and that phrase came over into my spirit and I just wrote it down. It was my custom to take these ideas and put them down. And then I would go in my quiet time and began to meditate on the ones. That topic of Blueprint of Faith, I didn't know anything about it. I wrote it down and I actually forgot about it. And it was about several years later that God began to teach me what that meant. The revelation that he showed me was that faith was a grouping of things, grace and confession and all of these things. Because then he took me to Romans and he took me to Abraham's life and showed me in Romans and how Abraham obtained his promise. And all of these things put together, we call it faith. And God changed Abram's name from Abram to Abraham. Abraham began to confess who he was before it was manifested. And so all of these things, God began to show me about the power of grace and walking by faith. And so I tell people the same thing. There's radio stations, but my thoughts, I kept them in a journal so that I cannot get into a space where I'm all over the place. I would just sit down and start looking at them and say, okay, God, which is the one you want me to focus on? You know? And that would save some time.
Well, and I know for me, at one point in my life, God asked me to work part-time for him, praying for my city.
Yeah.
Just 20 hours a week, sit and pray for your city. Well, I was excited about that job. I didn't know what kind of pay I'd get. I figured it would be eternal, but I didn't know. And so I started trying to sit down and pray for 20 hours a week. Well, what happened with that is that right away I had thoughts coming into my head. They were great ideas or they were like, you are sure wasting your time, or whatever thoughts they were. Sometimes they were somebody I was supposed to call and I'd forgotten. And so what I did is the same thing that you do. It's so powerful actually to write things down.
To write it down. Yeah.
And so what I did is I just had a notebook exactly beside me, an empty notebook. And as thoughts would come during the time I was supposed to be praying, I would jot the little thought down and I'd say, I'll come back to you later. Yes. Right now, I am praying. So whether it's trying to sort ideas or to manage interruptions or whatever it is, taking notes, having a place to actually jot a note where you'll come back to it later is really a powerful tool in getting a lot done.
Yes, yes. I know one of the things that the Bible talks about, meditating on the word and meditation. And we have allowed that meditation to be taken away from the church in the sense that we don't utilize it. But when you look into the scriptures, you have David and all these men talk about meditation and meditating and the power that you get. And we see examples of this in Jesus's life because he grew up in the same kind of customs as David and all the others did. And so Jesus would leave and go and hang out and pray and does his meditation. And then he comes out and walks on water, you know? So I keep telling people
that exactly.
The space that you meditate and you pray is the most powerful place that you will be, because once you come out of there, you are actually connected. People negate. I used to do a lot of my meditation sometimes, even when I'm going to sleep. Just before I lay down, I would take some time and lay in my bed and begin to take a scripture or something and mutter it and just go into my sleep with that scripture. And in the morning when I wake up, I have that scripture. I can quote it. And so I try to tell people these are the things, the tools that are available for you to use and to get to a place where you are today, where you are mentoring. I see your ABCs of success that... If you can just briefly go over that, because I know you do have a time crunch situation. If you can go over your ABCs of success, and then I'm going to point everyone to come to you once I put your stuff up so that they can get some additional insight from you as to how to apply those things.
You bet. So A, B, C, D, E, that's how far we're going to go, is A through E. And this is a program that I teach in corporate America, as well as in churches and to women and to spiritual leaders, because if you will embrace the reality of the ABCs of success, you will be able to get so much more done. You'll stay very focused and you'll be able to get a lot done. So I'm just going to run through them quick first, and then I'll go back and tap each one for a second. So A stands for assess and assign it a value. B stands for batch. C stands for calculate. D stands for delegate or do. And E stands for evaluate. So the bookends that we have here are we have assessment and evaluation. So as we're going through life, it's one thing to assess something at the beginning and to assign it a value and to move forward. But it's a whole nother thing to just do it then for the rest of your life without ever checking in. Sometimes it's good to evaluate things and to check, is this still working? Is this still the best I can do? Is this still what God wants me to do? So going back to A then, assessing and assigning something value. That's when we have something that's painful or difficult or new or big, and we need to assign it a value, because all of a sudden we want to, it needs to be added to our life somehow, but we have some resistance to that, or there are things in the way. So by assigning it a value, you decide where it's going to live in the hierarchy of your priorities. And so, like, I always loved gold medal Olympian Gabby Douglas. She would say, as a gymnast, she would say, the hard days, the most painful days are the best days, because that's where gold is made. So she realized that she was going to experience so much pain on her way to gold. That she was going to have to assign it a different value than most of us assign it. Most of us say pain, avoid at all costs.
Yes.
Gabby said pain, embrace, and recognize it's the path to gold. So if God's asked you to do something, you assess it and you say, yes, I am supposed to do this, then assign it a value so that you can move forward. Is that one making sense? Okay. B is for batch. So we are good at batching things, like we'll make a batch of cookies instead of making one cookie at a time, which would be ridiculous. We do it at the gas station. We fill our tank instead of putting in 1 gallon at a time. But in other areas of our lives, we answer one email at a time. We look at every text one at a time. We answer every phone call that rings. If you do this, you will only get so much done. Whereas if you just teach the people around you that you're going to batch it, I will be checking my emails at 10 and at 4 each day, or I will be offline for 2 hours from this time to this time, but I'll check in after that. And you give your family members an emergency route to get to you, which most phones these days can be programmed so your family can bypass your block, you will get a ton more done. Even hospitals do this, and even people in war do this. It's called triage. And so if you will apply this to your life, you will become so much more productive. C stands for calculate. You always want to count the cost. How much is that really going to cost me? And if it's going to cost you more than you have, then you have to go back to the drawing board and say, how can I reduce the cost? So if I've assessed it and I'm supposed to do it and I've assigned it a value and I find where I can save the time to make time to do it, now how much is it going to cost me? And you're going to need to calculate that and get it down. I always discourage people from living as if God's going to do miracles for you. I love miracles. And when they come, I embrace them full-heartedly. In fact, I think we're all just like a miracle. So put that into perspective. But I think when you stand on the edge of a cliff and you say, well, you told me to go down to the bottom, so I guess I'll just jump. That's really not a good idea, because gravity is also God's plan. So you have to calculate and you have to say, where is the resource, where are the resources coming from to accomplish this thing that God has put in my heart? Calculate it out. Find a way. That's called a business plan, or different names for it, a budget. Calculate. Then D is either delegate it or do it. And for most leaders, we really struggle with delegation, because we know that sometimes it's just easier to do it ourselves and do it right the first time than to try to delegate it. But I encourage leaders to look at your life. Do you can grow all of your own produce, grow your own cows and all your own meat production? And do you do all that yourself, or do you delegate some of that responsibility to a grocery store?
The grocery store.
Grocery store, right? Okay. Clothing. Do you grow your own sheep?
No.
And have a mill and make your own fabric and then make your own clothes? No, you just let somebody else do that for you, right? So a lot of this delegation mindset is just off. We've just decided that we can't afford to delegate. But honestly, you're already a great delegator. You're good at this. Just look at your life now, this new assignment you have, and see where you can delegate, and then do the things that only you can do. Do the things that God has assigned you to do, and then let the rest be delegated as He allows it to happen. And sometimes, of course, you have to, I've done it all. When we owned a restaurant, I would wash the dishes and I would take the trash out and I would do a lot of things, but mostly I didn't do those things. Mostly, I hired people to do those things.
So
I could lead it. Okay. Then the last one is evaluate. Just keep coming back around. Evaluate, evaluate, evaluate. Is this going well? Even when I lay down at night in bed, I say, okay, God, how was it with us today? And sometimes He just hugs me and puts me to sleep. And other nights, He has a few things to talk to me about. Either way, by the end of that short evaluation with God at the end of the day, I hear in my spirit, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to find out how I'm doing. I can check in with Jesus every single day. So that's A to E.
Yes, awesome. Thank you so much. I know Moses had to learn delegation. He was having a little issue.
He did.
And his father-in-law right. came to him and said, "You're kind of doing it, son. You're going to burn yourself out." And he right. taught him delegation about getting in all the different mm-hmm. leaders and just answer to those different leaders, have them see over the people because there was a lot of people. And so yes. delegation is very important. It keeps you from burning out so that you would be effective for the kingdom. I tell people you have to be effective. You have to learn how to utilize tools to prevent burnout, prevent all kinds of other things that you have to learn. And I love your analogy of coming to the Father, because I do the same. I say, "Dad, good morning uh-huh. to you." And you were the first person I've heard that said pretty much the same thing. So I was excited when I heard it.
That's awesome.
So what mm-hmm. I wanted to thank you for coming to us. I really so appreciate it to get a chance to talk to someone that knows how God works and how he loves his people and he loves his children. And I know all your books, I'm going to send all the people to go to how to, and maybe they can learn all the different how to's that you have. I know you have, they say, I was reading, you have your classes and all the different things that you do and provide for them. So I'm going to send everyone to you via your websites and directions where to get your books and so forth, so that maybe they can become free to start their own path with authorship and all the different things that you do. And the ABCs, I'm going to send them to you for that as well. And I thank you. I appreciate you that you came. I know you have to run, that you spend time and you are vulnerable with our audience and with myself to share such preciousness that you did. Thank you so much.
Oh, Ken, well, thank you so much for having me here. And you guys, God just loves you so much. You are so special to him. And whatever anybody has told you, their word does not mean anything compared to God's. So just keep coming back here. And Ken Moore, he's helping you. I love the title of your show, Threads of Enlightenment, because Jesus is light. He is life. And we are really being stitched together, like that picture yes. of the embroidery where underneath it's a mess and on top it's looking great, but not done
looking
yet.
Good.
Just to keep learning. Keep learning.
Yes.
Yeah, and get looking good, right?
Yes. I love the fact. I love it. Thank you so much for the encouragement. And I take it to heart. It is good to hear because I feel that this is a wonderful venue to give people stories so that they see not to stay stagnant in depression or all the dis-ease uh-huh. that we call diseases. It's dis-ease. And I don't want people to stay there. I want them to come out, and God will help them and provide answers just by listening to some of the conversations that we have. So I appreciate you, Marnie, and I shalom. To you and your family.
Shalom to you.
All right.
Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Everyone who's listening to this broadcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves, often invisible to us, in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials to find out who you truly are and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you. But always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. You can do this by hitting the heart button. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more. Everyone who's listening to this podcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves often invisible to us in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials, to find out who you truly are and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you. But always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more.